Isn't that a wonderful song this morning? Amen. Mark Wheeler wrote that song, and I appreciate Brother Mark Wheeler. Amen. And he's now pastoring a church, but he's out of Brother Mark Stroud's church. And of course, he's no stranger here, neither one of them. And I'm looking forward to the revival this week, what God's going to do. And pray for Brother Mark. He's been a few years since he's been here, but we're so excited that he's coming back and that he's going to be in the service with us. Amen. Luke chapter number 15, if you'll stand with us in reverence to the Word of God in prayer. I just appreciate all the singing, appreciate the presence of God, what He's done in this place already this morning, and I pray that God will help us now these next few moments around the Word of God. Luke chapter number 15, and notice with me in verse number 8, Luke chapter 15 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Heavenly Father, I want to thank you this morning for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you for the good singing. Thank you for what you've already done in our midst. And I pray now that, God, for anyone that may be here under the sound of our voice that is not saved, I pray the Holy Ghost would whisper to their heart and speak to them in a personal matter. May you get the glory and may you get the honor for everything that will be said and done. For we do love you and we ask it in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I'm preaching through Luke chapter number 15 and dealing with the subject that our Lord is dealing with concerning that which is lost. Amen. And there's two categories of people. In verse number 1 and verse number 2, there is the rough crowd. In verse number 1, the publican and the sinners. And these are seen as those that were less or lower in society, many times seen as criminals in society. And then there is a religious crowd. In verse number 2, Pharisees and scribes. And so Jesus begins to give three stories here in this parable, and in all three stories he is driving home the truth about being lost. Amen. Now both crowds are lost. The only problem is the crowd in verse number 2 is not willing to admit that they are lost. Now if you get born again, you'll have to come to the place where you realize and you're willing to confess that you're lost and you need to be found. Amen. And so what Jesus does in these stories here, it's interesting, the story that we preached on last week about the lost sheep. Christ takes a lost sheep, and you know, to Pharisees and to scribes, shepherds were seen as unclean people. They dealt with animals, and they were seen as the unclean. So the Pharisees and the scribes thought that they were just a little bit better, maybe a whole lot better than shepherds, amen, and certainly better than sheep. But what Jesus does is he's trying to bring them to the place of humility, amen. And Christ being that individual of humility, Christ labels himself as a shepherd. Amen. Christ was humble. The Bible said that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. It's interesting that Jesus was willing to be what that crowd was not willing to be, and that is to be low, and that is to be humble. And he brings about this story concerning the shepherd and the sheep. Now, I want to say, sinner, if you get saved, number one, you're going to have to realize you're lost, amen? And number two, you're going to have to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, amen? You see, there's a lot of people that knows they're lost, but they're not willing to humble themselves and come and be saved. Well, Jesus takes it to another level here in this story that we have read this morning concerning the lost silver, because in Bible days, a woman was seen in Bible days as insignificant in society. Now, we know that's not the way God sees women, amen? Amen. But it was the way the Pharisees and the scribes saw them. So what does Jesus do? He takes a woman in this story and uses her as a picture and a type of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And how that it rescues a piece of silver that was lost. Christ being the shepherd. Amen. The chief shepherd, the great shepherd. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Amen. And this woman being a picture and a type of the Holy Ghost. And of course, the Father in the next story is a picture of God the Father. What I'm saying to you this morning, sinner, is that God the Father loves you. God the Son died for you. And God the Holy Ghost wants to draw you to the foot of the cross. And He wants to save you. Amen. But you got to see yourself lost. You got to be willing to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Amen. Well, when we come to this text this morning, just thinking about the parable of the sheep and the parable of the lost silver. You see, the parable of the lost sheep, it teaches us what it is to be lost because of foolishness. Amen. I mean, this sheep just wandered out into the wilderness and he got lost. But then the parable of the lost silver, it teaches us what it is to be lost because of carelessness. Amen. You see, there's a lot of people lost today. There's a lot of children lost because their parents got careless and they got out of church and they didn't carry them to Sunday school and they never heard the gospel and they never got saved. Hey, mom and dad, you keep your children under the sound of the gospel all the days that they're in your home. Amen. You live for God. You teach them the way of salvation. That is your responsibility. That is not the responsibility of the church. It is not the responsibility of the preacher. You have more influence on your children than anybody in this world, and God wants you to teach them the gospel. Amen. You see, what the pastor in the church does is we are to reinforce what the parents teach the children. I remind you this morning, the Ten Commandments was not given to the church, and they were not given to the public school systems, and they were not given to the courthouse. But the Ten Commandments, according to Deuteronomy 6, was given to the home. Amen? And so we must teach our children. Is that true this morning? Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen? I'm saying this morning, this is the message here. And the parable of the lost sheep teaches us that when we're lost, we're out of place. Amen? And the parable of the lost silver teaches us that when we're lost, we're out of service. We're of no value whatsoever. You see, you and I that are saved this morning can identify with this because we were just like this coin. When we were lost, we had no purpose in life. Amen? Now, I'm telling you, when you get born again, thank God we're no longer on the outside looking in, but thank God we're on the inside looking out. Amen? I'm glad we've been brought into the fold, but then we've been given a purpose. I'm telling you, I wasn't worth anything and you wasn't worth anything and before God found you, and we're not worth much now, but in Christ, thank God we have a purpose, we have a reason, and it may not look like much, but thank God I'm royalty, and you may not look like much, but if you're saved, you're in the family of God. Hallelujah. Don't it make a difference to be saved this morning? And when we come to this text, I want you to notice the damsel in this text here in verse number 8. Look what Jesus said. He said, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver. Now, I want you to think about this damsel. I want you to think about her picture. She is a picture of the Holy Spirit, and she can be a picture of the church. Both play a part in the seeking sinner of being saved. However, I do believe that she's more of a picture of the Holy Ghost because it is the work of the Spirit, amen, that brings a sinner into salvation. And so we see this woman's picture. She is a type and a picture of the Holy Spirit. But notice her possessions here. The Bible said that she had 10 pieces of silver. Now here's a woman. She's got 10 pieces of silver. And the Bible numbers every single one of them. In so much that when that one is lost, it has not lost its significance. Amen? It just because she had 9 more pieces, that one is just as valuable as all 10 of them brought together. Just like the one sheep was just as important to the shepherd as the 99. Amen. What I'm saying to you this morning is, sinner, you count in the eyes of God. You may not mean much to this world, but you do mean much to Him this morning. You see, when that shepherd went for that lost sheep, listen, he was the chief shepherd, and he left them other shepherds, or them other sheep with the other shepherds, but the chief shepherd took it upon himself to go
after that which was lost. I want to say this woman takes it upon herself to go after this silver that is lost. You may say, well, I didn't come to get saved. You may not have, but God knew you would be here, and he sent the message your way, and he wants to save you this morning. Amen. I see her possession, and then I see her price. The Bible said that she had 10 pieces of silver. Now, silver, my friend, was the price of redemption in the Bible. Amen. And this is all a story about being redeemed. Sinner, you need to be redeemed. You realize that Adam sold you out into sin. When Adam sinned in the garden, Romans 5 and verse 12 says, talking about Adam, wherefore as by one man, talking about Adam, sin entered into this world, and death by sin, for all have sinned. Amen. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed a man once to die, and after this the judgment. Romans 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ezekiel said, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. I'm telling you this morning, sinner, you got a death sentence on you, and the only hope this morning is that you get redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And so we see the damsel. But when we come to verse number 8 here, I also want you to see the dilemma. The Bible says, if she lose one piece. Now think about the silver this morning. The silver is lost. And this silver this morning, Jesus talks about the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And they, these Pharisees and these scribes, they're lost. They're like the piece of silver that represents every sinner in the fact that this sinner has no life. And Ephesians chapter 2 talks about being dead in your trespasses and sin. I want to say, if you're lost this morning, you're just like this piece of silver, you're dead. Amen. This silver, my friend, is like every other sinner. In fact, that it was fallen. The Bible said she lost this piece. This silver has fallen, amen, and man has fallen into sin. The fall of man is, my friend, what ruined every one of us. When Adam sinned in the garden in Genesis chapter 3 and he partook of that fruit, he disobeyed the word of God, and because of that, he plunged all of humanity into sin, and now because of that, we all are sinful men. David said in Psalms chapter 51, he said, in sin did my mother conceive me. I'm telling you, sinner, you were born a sinner. Listen, you say, well, I'm a good person. All that means is you're a good sinner. Amen. Well, I tell you, preacher, I'm a young person. That just means you're a young sinner. I'm telling you, people don't go to hell because of what they do. They go to hell because of what they are. Amen. You are a sinner, and sinners must be saved. Hallelujah. Got to be born again. I mean, this silver's lost. And it's lost in the dust of this world. It represents every sinner that's lost in this world. It's lost in darkness. Notice she's going to take a light and she's going to find that piece of silver. She couldn't find the silver without the light. I'm telling you this morning, you and I, before we got saved, we walked in darkness. Isn't that right? But now that we're born again, thank God, we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. This morning, I'm talking about the dilemma in this text is that the silver is lost this morning. You know, if you're lost, you're in a dilemma this morning. You're in trouble. Thank God for the day I got in trouble and realized I was lost. If you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I'm nervous. I don't think I'm ready to go to heaven. That's a good place to be in if you don't stay there. And this silver is lost, but notice something else in verse number 8. This silver is looked for. Because the Bible says, doth not, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. This woman loses this silver. What does she do? She lights a candle. That candle represents the Word of God. Psalms 119 and verse 105 said, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In that same chapter, the Bible says, "The entrance of Thy Word giveth light." Amen. You know what light we need this morning? Sinner, you know what light you need this morning? You need the light of the Word of God. Amen. You don't need to hear what I think or what man thinks, but you need to know what God says. And God says you're a sinner, and God says you're lost, but God says, "I'm looking for you." Amen. I'm glad, thank God, He came looking for me. Amen. Don't you thank God for the day He came looking for you? He came looking for the sheep, and then He came looking for the silver. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus came from the glory world, and He came to Calvary, and He died on the cross. Why? So because He was looking for sinful man. He said, "The Son of Man is come that He might seek and save that which is lost." And now He went back to glory. But the Holy Ghost, guess what He's doing? He's looking for sinners. He's wooing them to the cross. It's that still small voice that speaks to your heart and tells you, you need to be saved. You say, "Who is that?" That is the Holy Spirit dealing with your heart, telling you, you must be born again. Amen. I think back when I got saved and I didn't know a lot of scripture, if any. But I knew I was lost. You say, "How's that possible?" Still small voice. Spoke to my heart when I heard the Word of God preached and said, "Hey, son, that preacher's talking to you. Hey, boy, you need to be saved. Hey, girl, you need to come down this aisle and get born again." You say, "How do you know it was God?" Because it never left me. He never changed. He never said, "What if you're not saved?" He never said, "Well, what if you think you're saved?" But yet, no, He didn't talk to me like that. That's not how He talks to sinners. He don't have to raise a bunch of questions of, "Well, what if you're not saved?" He knows if you're saved or lost. I promise you, if you're sitting around saying, "Well, what if I'm saved?" or "What if I'm lost?" or "Is that God telling?" No, God don't have to talk to you like that. He knows your name. He knows your address. He knows your status. And if you're lost, He'll just come right to the door of your heart and knock on it and say, "You're lost." And I'll tell you something else about the Holy Ghost. He needs no introduction. Amen. I'm telling you, when God speaks to you, He don't have to introduce Himself. The devil may subplant a lot of things in your mind, but you'll never know who that is. Sometimes it's me. You'll think it's yourself. Sometimes you'll think it's God, and sometimes you'll think it's the devil. I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost pulls the scales off a sinner's eyes and shows them that they're lost and shows them that they're in need of a Savior, I don't care if they're 5 years old or 50 years old, they will know who that is that is speaking to them, and they'll know what they need to do. Amen. Because God will look for you. In this congregation this morning, He is looking for sinners, just like this woman's looking for this silver. Now, all types break down, don't they? The only difference between this woman and this text and the Holy Spirit is He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly who you are. He can come to your place. He can come to your pew this morning. This silver's lost. This silver's looked for. And this silver is little. It's 1 out of 10. Amen. I mean, this money could have been used as some form of emergency system for this woman, but most likely this was a dowry that was given to her on her wedding day as a gift from her father. But whatever the case may be, she knows that she has lost it, and in desperation she is looking for it. Now I want to be clear. God never loses nobody. Amen. I'm going to tell you the reason we're lost is because of Adam's sin. Amen. But God wasn't taken by surprise. Amen. This silver may be little. It may seem insignificant in the text, but to this woman, this silver means much. And sinner, I want to say, you mean much to God. He loves you. He wants to save you. He don't want you to go to hell. I'm telling you, God wants to rescue you. I don't understand why anybody that's lost wouldn't come and get saved, because God is for you. He wants to rescue your soul. Why would you want to spend another day miserable? Why would you want to spend another day lost? Why would you want to pillow your head another night and worry about where you're going to spend eternity when there's an all-seeing, all-knowing God sitting in the heavens this morning who loves you enough? He's willing to come and tell you you're lost. He's willing to give His Son. He wants to save you this morning. Amen. Don't go to hell. You know, the greatest tragedy about anybody going to hell is that they do not have to. And the silver is little. You know, you might be little this morning in your eyes, but no matter how little this piece of silver was, God wanted to deliver it. I'll tell you, He takes the broken of the broken, doesn't He? He takes those that are, can we say it this way? The lowest of the lowest. And that's what we all are. But I'm talking about in the world's eyes. The world will throw you away. The world will say you're insignificant. But Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He took the publicans, He took the sinners, and He would have took the Pharisees and the scribes if they would have come. Finally, notice also the declaration. I see this woman. Notice the delight. She's going to make a declaration, but in verse 9, I want you to see the delight. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. The silver and the woman's finding. Notice the Bible does not say if she finds it, but the Bible says in verse 9, and when she hath found it. I want to tell you this morning, sinner, if you want to be saved, there's no if to it. I'm telling you, it's a matter of when. You say, what do you mean? I mean God will take you right now. Amen? You don't have to come lay in this altar for hours. You don't have to do penance. We're not Catholic. Somebody say amen. You ain't going to work your way into heaven. You're not, you say, well, if I shed enough tears, I'll get saved. No, that's not how you get saved. Now, you may shed tears, but tears never save nobody. Amen? Well, if I go down there and stay in that altar long enough, maybe I'll get saved. Staying in the altar never saved nobody. Amen? I'll tell you, if you'll come, I'll tell you, when you come, you will be saved. Amen? I was listening to the radio this morning to an old sermon that they were reading by Billy Sunday, and he was talking about Matthew, the tax collector. He said, when Jesus passed by Matthew, he said, follow me and I'll make you to be fishers of men. You know what Matthew did? The Bible said he arose. You know what Billy Sunday said? I thought, man, I wrote that down. He said, when Matthew arose, he was. Amen. You say, what does that mean? That means when he heard the word of God and he trusted what Jesus said, when he arose, guess what? He was as good as in. Amen. I'm telling you, sinner, that's the way it is. When the Holy Ghost pricks your heart, when you arise out of that seat and said, I'm coming to Jesus. Thank God that is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, when that thief that got saved was hanging on the cross, his hands were nailed and his feet was nailed. And with his hands, that meant he couldn't do nothing. And it meant he couldn't go nowheres. There's only two parts of his body that he could use on the cross. That was his heart and his mouth. And he looked at Jesus, and with both of them, with his heart, he said, Lord. And with his mouth, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You see, salvation's in not what you can do. Salvation's in not where you can go. For Romans 10 and verse 9 uses both of those parts. As it said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That thief was nailed to the cross. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't go nowheres. But with his heart, he believed Jesus Christ was Lord. And with his mouth, he confessed it. I'm telling you, sinner, get out of your seat and come to an old-fashioned altar and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you can be found. Amen. The silver and the woman's finding. Notice the silver and the woman's friends. I'm telling you, when this woman found this silver, the Bible says that she calleth her friends and her neighbors together. You see, it may have not meant much to this world, but it meant a lot to this woman. Amen? So much that she was so overjoyed for this one piece of silver that she called all of her friends together and said, I want you to rejoice with me. Amen? Why? For I have found the peace that was lost. You know, one of these days, the last piece of silver is going to get in. They'd take them 10 pieces of silver and put it many times either around their neck or around their head in a band. And you've seen that. You see that lady searching with those 9 pieces and one's missing. But she found the one that was lost. And guess what? The band was complete. That band was given as a wedding gift on a wedding occasion. Hey, one of these days, the last sinner's walking the aisle and getting saved. And the bride is going to be complete. Sinner, you need to be saved. The declaration, look what Jesus says in verse 10, the comparison, likewise. He's bringing it right back, sinner. Just like a piece of silver, you're lost. Just like the woman, the Holy Ghost is speaking to you right now. And we notice the Christ. He said, I say unto you, sinner, I want you to remember this morning, what I'm preaching to you is not what I say, but it's what Jesus said. It's not my words that's going to save you. It is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Remember years ago in Angola State Pen, was preaching one of the services there, and a young man got saved, and after he got saved, he stood up and he said, I want to thank you for saving me. I said, sir, I couldn't save you if I wanted to. And I knew he just didn't know. I said, I didn't save you. I said, who saved you if I didn't save you? He looked at me and a big old smile came over his face, black man. He said, Jesus saved me. I said, that's right. I'm telling you, we're not a pope or a priest. Can I get an amen? I couldn't pull nobody up, couldn't pull my own self up out of the pit that I was in. But Christ says, likewise, I say unto you, sinner, if you want to be saved, don't trust the words of this preacher. Put your faith and trust in the Word of God. I'm not going to heaven because of what I did. I'm going to heaven because of what He did. I'm not going to heaven because of what I said. I'm going to heaven because of what He said. It is faith in the finished work of Calvary. Faith in the Word of God. Sinner, you want to be saved? Trust Christ. Trust the Word of God to save you this morning. Brother Gravely, how do you know you're going to heaven? Because the Bible tells me so. And now finally I see the celebration. He said there's joy in the presence of the angels. There's joy. You think about all the joys of heaven, but there is a joy that trumps all other joy that there is in heaven. That's when a sinner gets saved. Sinner, if you walk the aisle and get saved this morning, is the world going to be happy about it? They don't care. But heaven will. That's the celebration that takes place on the other side. And there's the Creator. The Bible says, in the presence of the angels. Make no mistake about it this morning. Angels rejoice. Angels worship. But when a sinner gets saved, it's not the angels that's rejoicing. It's God, our Creator. You say, why would I want to get saved? Because God loves you and He's for you this morning. Don't you want to please God? You see, you can't get saved because of your mother. You can't get saved for your father. You say, well, they want me to be saved. That's good, but you can't get saved because of them. You can't come to this altar because this preacher wants you to come down here and get saved. You say, well, I want to be saved because I want to go to heaven. That's a good reason. It's got to be between you and God. I've seen people want their children or want their loved ones to be saved and just about drag them down to the altar. And I understand the burden. But I'm telling you, God, that's a work of the Holy Spirit. God has to do. And I'm telling you this morning, if God is knocking on your heart telling you you need to be saved, you better come while you can. Don't you think because you're young you got time. You may not have time. And there is the cause here. Over one sinner, look at the last two words, that repenteth. You cannot separate faith and repentance. You must believe Jesus Christ will save you. But you must come and repent of your sins. You know, the world can say what they want to. But when Matthew arose at that receipt of custom, that was repentance in action. Because he was leaving behind. He was turning his back on what he did know to follow Jesus. You know why some people don't repent? Pride. You know why some people don't repent? Ignorance, they've never been told. You know why some people don't repent? They love their sin. Why would the Pharisees not repent? They didn't think they needed to.
This morning, if you repent, it'll only be if you see the need. You can't repent because you get in trouble. You got to repent because you know I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. Now, sinner, you're going to have to make a choice this morning and this invitation to either accept Jesus Christ or to reject Him. And this morning you say, well, how do I know? Well, you'll know. If you know, you'll know if you're lost this morning. I won't have to tell you that. You'll know this morning. I'd say in this congregation this morning, no telling how many people needs to be saved. I don't know who's here and who's lost and who's not saved and who is saved. I know some people is saved. But I'm telling you this morning, if the Holy Spirit knocks on your heart, that still small voice whispers, why don't you get saved this morning? I want you to be saved. You know you need to be saved. See, that's how God speaks to you. You know this message is for you. You know you're lost. You know you need to be saved. That's how He talks to you. You just know. He don't need no introduction. Heavenly Father, Lord, you saved somebody last week, and we thank you for that. God, there's no doubt there's others this morning that need to be saved. Spirit of God, please show them this morning how lost they are and how much they need to be born again. Lord, help them to come to this altar. If they'll just come, you'll save them. If they'll trust you this morning. They'll believe the gospel that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for their sins. Lord, you'll save them this morning. As we stand, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, Christians are praying.